paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go!
ESPN 97.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome back to hour two of the show. And we ended hour one with what the hell is Oklahoma doing? Well, we might start it with what the hell is Kelly Stafford doing? And I talked about this when we started the show, and I just got different reactions depending on gender. You look at some of the men who have quote tweeted this audio we're about to play, and they're like, why would she do this? What is she talking about? Keep that in-house. I sent the same story to a woman, and she's like, whatever. And? So, Kelly Stafford was on a podcast. She is the wife of Matthew Stafford, the longtime NFL quarterback. We know the story. Played at Georgia, number one overall pick, wound up in Detroit, finally got out of there, and won himself a Super Bowl with the Rams. Well, when you start to, you know, move to L.A., and we're in this world where podcasts are everything, there are going to be people who want to talk to Kelly Stafford. She also has well, you'll hear something in the second clip we play where maybe she was doing promo for a podcast when she said what she said. But the first clip, this popped off yesterday. She's responding to a question, and she says some things that got people upset.
Wait, so was he trying to casually date and you were all
in? Oh, yeah, girl.
Anyways, long story short, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him. I loved him. I dated the backup to piss him off, which worked.
Oh, yes. He was like, that'll do it.
He was the bad boy, too. Like, Matthew's so sweet and southern gentleman and all that stuff. And the backup was the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, and it upset him. So they lived in the same dorm because athletes lived in the same dorm, and he would see my car there. And so at one point, he, like, waited and followed me out and got in my car and wouldn't get out.
Stop.
And he was
like, this is so hot.
I was like, this is amazing. Working.
Yeah.
I was, get out of my car. And he was like, he's not right for you. And I was like, who do you, what? You can't tell me that.
First of all, what's Matthew Stafford doing with the Dirty Mac? Whatever you think of the backup, and now there's some question about who the backup quarterback was, just because somebody who says they knew someone is saying this. Most people think it's Joe Cox, who was the backup quarterback at Georgia at the time. But, you know, there are more than one backup quarterback, and she wasn't name dropping. What's Matthew Stafford getting in the car of, sure, you may love this woman, future wife. So it worked, all worked out. It all worked out, but at the time, you're getting into the car of the guy, you're getting in the car of a girl who your buddy, I'm assuming in the quarterback room, is dating, and you're going to drop, he's not right for you? Nah. I know they had dated in the past, but you got to step back. Allow that relationship to fizzle out. You can't get in her car and do that. People are reacting to what she's doing because, you know, she's causing controversy. You go, football players, how could she possibly do that? Ain't nobody talking about what Matthew Stafford did?
Hey.
What's that about?
Part of the love story.
It's sweet now, like 16 years later. But at the time, if I'm the backup quarterback, hey, man, watch your mouth. You lost her. You can't go in there and do that. I didn't take her away from you. As the women have said in the past, it's no longer a thing because it's old. Didn't put a ring on it, Sean. And you know what the backup did?
That was probably of the time.
Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. Around there. You know what the backup did? I'm taking my shot. And it
shoot or shoot.
And it worked out for him, at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
Or Logan Gray. That's the contention. No one, like, a lot of people think it's Joe Cox because he had – I guess the bad boy personality. He had the Caesar cut, and he had a weird facial hair, so people think it's Joe Cox. Other people think
what an investigation, by the way.
I saw the pictures.
He was
Joe
the
Cox.
Bad boy,
yeah,
because of how he looked.
Yeah, I don't know anything else about him. And then one other person. I'm not going to say some people because only one other person is saying it wasn't Joe Cox. It was Logan Gray who was on the roster at the same time.
He was the practice squad quarterback.
Yeah, so. And Kelly Stafford, as I said, wasn't very specific about who she meant. She goes, actually, the number two. She just said the backup, so who knows what that means to her. Matthew Stafford. It all worked out. Understood. But you can't do your boy like that. Even if he's not your boy. You can't do your teammate like that.
We don't know the nature of him and his backup quarterback's
relationship. And it probably wasn't going great if he's with her, with what
probably
was his
worse.
Girl. Probably got worse. Either, no matter what. I think we're all looking at it wrong. Sure, you want to call Kelly Stafford manipulative, somewhat finessing, conniving, whatever word you want to use to make Matthew Stafford jealous. That's all fair in love and war, I guess. But there has to be a code, Matthew Stafford. You can't jump in that car and do that.
I thought all is fair in love and war. He loves Kelly Stafford.
But guys, we got a code. You got a code.
I'm team Matt.
Your team love?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's better. I'm team love, Del.
You know what? I'm team. You deserve a punch in the face.
Maybe he did.
This is my point.
Joe Cox get on a podcast.
If it was Joe Cox or Logan Gray, whoever the backup quarterback was that she's talking about, if Matthew Stafford got punched in the face, it would have been well deserved.
Okay. You know what? Fair is fair.
Look, you pulled your move. I found out about it. I get to hit you in the face. But, of course, you're hitting the starting quarterback for a team. You know, it's Georgia. They weren't ever going to win a title at that point because it's Georgia. Things have changed now.
Yeah, well, Mark Richt was going to suspend him for the first half of the first game.
Well, he might have punched. No, the point is Logan Gray or Joe Cox, if you punch a Matthew Stafford, you got a big problem. I understood. As long as you don't break his nose, maybe you're okay. I think people are looking at it in the wrong way. Matthew Stafford broke a code. You broke the code. You lost out. You let that rock until it all comes back. And as you said, Sean, or we'll say this, in this month specifically, love wins. Love won.
Love did.
But
win.
Before I kind of analyze Matthew Stafford's actions, the point I did want to make was she's told this story before. I'm not sure why it's popping off now. She was on the Off the Vine podcast for this particular story. She told the story again when she was trying to promote her podcast. Here's Kelly Stafford telling the same story with the same particulars a couple years ago.
Our college relationship was, you know, the typical college, I would say, relationship where there wasn't really one.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want one. That
Could you blame him?
We went back and forth there for a little bit with the love hate. Some of my podcast is our story, because it's a funny, it's a really funny story because we were all over the place. I dated the backup to piss him off. Like that was the type of situation we were in. Listen, he deserved it. Okay, he deserved it.
That backup is crazy. What is he doing?
You know what? He was like the bad boy. He like, you know, Matthew's like this genuine soul. And then it was the bad boy.
So she didn't like the casual dating aspect of it. So she said, hey, you're not serious about me. I'm going to go date the backup. And some of the appeal was to make him jealous. And we know it all worked out.
I don't love the PR of this backup, unnamed backup quarterback. Being like, every time you have to bring up how good I get, Matt Stafford's your husband, and how nice of a soul he is, and every time you bring me up, I'm the bad boy.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, wait a minute.
Who do you take me for?
Why? Yeah. Why am I the bad boy?
Big Kristen Cole hours.
Well, is he a psychopath when she says bad boy? We don't know. Well,
Kristen Cole is a bad boy. I'll just say that.
I mean, that takes it to a different level, but. But Joe, if I'm Joe Cox, if it's about Joe Cox, if I get asked, I'm like, look, let's turn this around. What the hell was Stafford doing in that car? That's what we're at. Like if I'm getting asked at SEC Media Days, Not that he would be asked.
I don't think he will be.
He won't even be there. Lane Kiffin will let you go. But, you know, the first day at camp.
Lane Kiffin will be asked.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin will
he'll
probably
give an answer.
He tweeted about it. He probably will be asked about it. But the first day at camp, when the Oxford Beacon Journal, whatever the hell they're called, or the rival site for Ole Miss, rolls up, and maybe it's not the first day because you're probably just talking to the head coach. On the second day when Lane Kiffin's like, I'm not doing this today. So it's Joe Cox's turn. I'm like, yeah, all right, bring it. Let's have a conversation. And let's have a conversation about bro code.
I got a story to tell.
Yeah, I'm going to tell my side, and it ain't going to look great for Matthew Stafford. And maybe Kelly catches one too because, you know, you're putting me in a position to look like the bad boy. If it is Joe Cox, because it could possibly be Logan Gray as well. Either way, great story. I appreciate it, Kelly Stafford, but you've told it twice, and this one just hit for whatever reason.
I think because it's June 21st.
Yeah, the story initially, I think, from what I saw, the clip that I pulled for their initial story was like in February of 2022.
Yeah, too busy of a time.
Yeah, you got NBA, you've got hockey, you've got not baseball, it's just those
football.
Two sports. It's late February, so maybe some
combine.
Runoff. Or mid-February, so maybe some runoff from the Super Bowl.
We'd kill
in fact,
for the combine right
February,
now.
February, I wouldn't. I hate the combine. No, February, did they win? Was it the 21-22 season that they won the
yes.
Super Bowl? So she was on her tour and using the Super Bowl to help promote it as well. So there's a lot of things to discuss. Not her use of a backup to solidify her relationship with her now husband. Beautiful family. Her, the kids. I just know. You got a bro code breaking husband. That's all I know.
That is a crazy move by Kelly Stafford.
To use a teammate, which is what the football players were upset about.
Not just a teammate.
In the same position.
Same position group. Maybe that's why Mark Richt never won anything. He had this crazy.
All the strife
yeah,
in the locker room.
I don't want to know what Aaron Murray had to go through.
I'm glad Matthew Stafford was a clear like one and was going to be the top pick in the draft. Because what if it was like a quarterback battle and they had to deal with that in camp? Like Kelly Stafford's waiting for the backup, whoever it might be, after practice. And Matthew's like, she's carrying his helmet to the locker room. And Matthew Stafford's looking at all that occur while he's trying to win a quarterback battle.
It's Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, just in 2008. So, hey, it worked out for the Staffords. I'm sure whoever the quarterback in question is, it's just fine. Trust me, even the backup quarterback at Georgia has his pick. That guy was A-OK.
I mean, he dated the starting quarterback's girlfriend. Like,
it is a feather in the cap. Joe Cox did eventually transfer, I believe, and went to go play at South Carolina.
Quitter.
That's what we called him back in the day.
Yeah, but that comment was brought to you by 2009 College Football Discourse.
That's right. Oh, you don't want to stay and battle it out?
You don't want to be a backup for the rest of your career?
You know, you clearly aren't going to be a pro. You don't want to be a backup here, never play? Quitter. That logic when it comes to calling out kids who just want to play ball. You're going to go into something other than sports as a professional. But don't you dare try to find a path to playing in your final year. You quitter. Seems logical, doesn't it? We will get into other things other than a 2008 relationship that blossomed into a marriage when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
That's the voice of Michael Carroll. He'll join us here in the next segment. A lot of stuff either premiered or had their second episode, or at least their second week on the air this week. I mean, the boys are in episode 4, but that's because they had a 3-episode premiere that was on last night. You also had the first episode of House of the Dragon. Once again, we won't spoil anything for the most part. It'll just be, if we do get into it, mostly a conversation about where we think the story is going. Like I said, I want to be sensitive to that particular show. I know a lot of people watch it, and you just can't get to it all the time. So we try not to spoil that if we can. So Michael Carroll joins us coming up next, host of Comicast. He does that show with John Lee. You can hear it every Friday, at least unless there's something that gets in the way. But for the most part, 9 to 10 on 97.5 Comicast. You can also find it in podcast form wherever you listen to podcasts. Baseball Reference has this tweet. Since 2016, there are only two pitchers to have multiple games in the same season with 7-plus innings pitched and 0 hits allowed. One of them is my guy, Ronel Blanco. We know he started the year with a no-hitter, and then in his most recent start, pitched 7 hitless innings. The other, Framber Valdez, last year. So, future all-star Ronel Blanco, at least if there's any justice in this world, Sean, he'll be an all-star this year. And Framber, who has not pitched up to that standard this year, but we know has certainly been capable of it, those two in back-to-back years. I don't know if historic is the right word, considering they're only going back to 2016.
Historic.
Historic for this decade. It's historic for the last 10 years or so, even though it's really only eight.
There's only been 2 Olympics since then, all right?
And 2 World Cups.
And 2 World Cups. Historic.
Historic stuff from Ronel Blanco and Framber last year. Ronel Blanco will go on Saturday for the Astros against the Orioles. Hopefully he's trying to extend their winning streak to 4. I say hopefully because after winning the last 2 in Chicago, they see the Orioles and Jake Bloss is their starting pitcher. If you haven't heard of him, welcome to most of us before, like yesterday. Unless you are really big into Astros minor league baseball, which some of you are, probably are listening to the wrong show if you are. I'm not saying go away. It's just not where you're going to hear a lot of Astros minor league baseball talk.
This is for the other stuff that you like.
Yeah, although this station, at least the 92.5 part of Gal Media, does run games for an Astros affiliate. The Space Cowboys, yes. Where Jake Bloss did not pitch.
Yes, I was going to say, even if you listen to he never made every appearance, Space Cowboy game.
He never made an appearance for him.
I don't think his name might have come up. But
yeah, I don't know if they do.
In passing.
I don't know if they do, hey, what's going on in AA? I don't know if they do those segments. Maybe I could ask one of our producers. I'm not going to ask one of our producers who runs that. It's not that important. But Jake Bloss on the mound tonight against the Baltimore Orioles, who are coming off a 17-5 win over the Yankees. And I point that out because the headline for that outing, that performance, was incredible hitting. That's who Jake Bloss has to run into tonight in his first start. Hey, it's a different atmosphere, different pitcher. Who knows if it's even the same lineup tonight. Just hope for the best for Jake Bloss. And all we're looking for is for you to escape an inning without being, you know, beat up. Because we hold him to the Blair Henley standard. And to be honest, the Blair Henley standard is just get 2 outs. But for us, we hope for more for our guy.
Yeah. Give me 4 2/3.
Spencer Arrighetti? From last night? Oh, you want 2/3. Arrighetti went 4 1/3 yesterday. So you want 4 2/3 of what? 3 runs?
I'll allow 3 runs before I start feeling some type of way.
Okay. Then you're yelling. You won't be yelling.
Yeah.
Then some people will be yelling at Joe Espada.
Get him back on the bus.
Get him out of there.
Go back to take that mess back to Corpus.
He doesn't even get a plane back, huh? Ride the bus back to Corpus. Probably. Depending on how well you pitch, Jake. It'll determine whether you get on a plane or we send you on a Greyhound.
Not even to Sugar Land, which would make way more sense.
It would make way more sense. Certainly be a shorter ride for him. Send your ass back to Corpus on a Greyhound if you don't pitch well tonight.
Yeah, just keep the Astros in this game.
That is what we're looking for. That's the standard. Whether that be because they go off against the Orioles tonight, so you may not be great, but the bats are alive and they're still in it. Or you're outstanding because the bats are quiet. Whatever it takes, keep them in the game, and it'll be a job well done as a spot starter.
Yes. When you hand the ball over, I want to be still engaged in the game.
You want him to be applauded as he walks off, no matter, because it don't have to be a standing ovation, but people just appreciative of the effort when he walks off the field.
Sure. That feels like an even lower standard.
I mean,
don't get booed off the mound.
Well, not booed, but you know, people are like, just a clap.
A smattering?
Just a smattering of applause for keeping the team in the game.
Everyone gets a smattering.
Okay, more than a smattering. Maybe however many people are in the building tonight, they're all clapping.
How about the fans by the dugout?
They stand up.
Yes, but not a full standing.
No, because what are we doing?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be nuts. That means he would have been spectacular. But the fans, you know, the true baseball heads out there, appreciative of Jake Bloss's performance. That's what we're looking for.
I always thought that the reason that the fans behind the dugout are the first ones to like stand and clap for a pitcher walking into the dugout is just because it's so awkward that they're just staring at a guy walking towards them and they're like, I feel like I have to clap.
His eyes are boring into me. I have to do something.
He did his best.
Yeah. Like, let's give it up.
Like, it is a very awkward position to be like, yep, there he is, walking straight to me.
Because because if they don't clap, no one's talking.
Like giving him a middle finger.
He's gonna hear everything that's being said as he's walking off the mound.
Yeah. You leaning over to your butt. Ugh. Oh,
he was trash tonight. Oof.
Let's see if Seth Martinez can save us.
You want applause to drown out the slander. Hey, make the guy feel as good as he can. Let's hope that particular scenario isn't what takes place, and he's applauded for a pretty good performance, and he'll get his chance tonight against the Orioles. Jake Bloss on the mound as the Astros try to get get a win streak started with three in a row, and the climb back to 500 continues. So before we close it out here, because we have Michael Carroll coming up next, it's a win, Sean, for the people who think Michael Jordan's overrated. Tom Haberstroh, who was formerly of ESPN, he does podcast. One of them is a basketball conspiracy podcast. I'm forgetting the name. He has gone through, because it's June, he's gone through Michael Jordan's 1988 Defensive Player of the Year candidacy, one that he won, and has suggested there's a little funny business with the numbers.
They're cooking the books?
They're cooking the books in Michael Jordan's favor when he got that Defensive Player of the Year at 25 years old. And people have found some games he's discussed and found them on YouTube, and they're from the official NBA account on YouTube, or maybe even just NBA.com. Talking about a 10-steal game for Michael Jordan. Of course, in the video, there are only 6 steals that are counted. So people are trying to find out what the NBA was up to when they gave Michael Jordan those numbers.
It's crazy that, I mean, because I wouldn't say I've thrown doubt at the Wilt 100-point game, but I have been like, I want to see it. Every time we did a segment either yesterday or a couple days ago on Glon George about if you could get in a time machine and watch any athlete play, who would it be? Oh, it was after Willie Mays died. And I said, I want to watch the 100-point game. I want to see it. I want to sit there with a pen in the pad counting every point. That game happened in 1962. We're talking about a game that happened in 1988. That was definitely on TV. And they gave him 40% more steals than he actually had.
And a lot of this is backed by a statistician whistleblower who was given the job.
Okay. That phrase is just, okay.
I said it because it's funny to say.
Statistician whistleblower.
He was given.
Watch it. Don't get it on any planes.
That's true. Does the NBA operate like Boeing? Watch yourself. This was given to this guy who was actually, who is currently the CEO of a Boys and Girls Club in Texas. I'm trying to find his first name. All I see is Rucker here. Or maybe that's the name he wants to go by because he doesn't want people to know. Alex
like
Rucker. There
like,
he is.
Like
his name is
Alex.
Yeah, his name is Alex Rucker. He was the guy who was tasked with breaking down stats and, you know, some of the examples. He would see an assist given to John Stockton after a pass that led to a Karl Malone bucket and go, wait a minute, this didn't actually lead to the bucket. Why is he getting an assist for that? So that led to him really going with the deep dive and trying to break down why these stats show up the way they do. And the assertion is that the books were cooked, and particularly at home, which is something that Jaren Jackson Jr. caught when he won his DPOY. People are like, blocks? He didn't block this many shots. This is some home cooking. So the disparity between blocks and steals home and away was big. So Michael Jordan averaged 4 steals and 2.1 blocks at home. But on the road, those numbers were a more normal rate of 2.1 and 1.2 blocks. So he nearly doubled his stats as far as defensive stats.
He was twice as good at home
than on the road. Also, this is coming off a year where he thought he should have won the Defensive Player of the Year, but Michael Cooper won it, and then he commented on Michael Cooper's lack of stats. And all of a sudden, the next year,
he had amazing stats.
So, if you believe that Michael Jordan played against plumbers because he's not your GOAT, and you didn't watch a lot of him because, hell, it wasn't in HD. Why are you making me watch stuff in standard definition? Or even worse, because the TVs were worse. Now you have evidence to suggest that Michael Jordan, by the numbers, wasn't even as good as they say he was. When they're trying to sell you on how great he was as a defender, the numbers would suggest that they're lying. Sometimes numbers lie, or at least the people who are making the numbers lie. Michael Jordan, his Defensive Player of the Year, in question. And by that, I mean the NBA is going to do nothing about it, but it's another talking point for you guys when you get into one of your arguments. Who's better, LeBron or Michael? Well, Michael has a DPOY. Does he? Does he? It's June, everybody. You got to find stuff to pick apart. Coming up next is Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll, he might not give us anything new to watch considering what there is to watch on TV right now. There's so much. I'm using this weekend to catch up. I still got to watch another episode of Presumed Innocent, the Jake Gyllenhaal joint, where he is now after episode. Nah, I can't give it away. That'd be something against the code. Maybe not Matthew Stafford level against the code, if you heard that segment earlier, but still against the code. Michael Carroll, host of Comicast. He'll join us next.
And action.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll joins us. Some guy is in the room with us as he joins us generally every week, unless, you know, life gets in the way, gets busy. But he's here with us, the host of Comicast. You can hear that on ESPN 97.5 from 9 to 10 on Fridays. Also, wherever you find your podcast.
Yes.
He hosts that with Jong Lee. Jong Lee, formerly of 97.5 himself. And the topics of conversation on the podcast this week, something close to my heart, Blade. I love Blade. And delays after delay after delay. Mahershala Ali, great actor, is supposed to be Blade. At this point, Michael, maybe not to give away your entire podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Is Mahershala Ali ever going to play Blade? In his own movie.
In his own movie, I'm going to, we recorded this podcast before yesterday's news broke about the latest, because Delroy Lindo has now left the cast.
Oh boy.
The movie was going to be initially set in the 1920s and was going to be a period piece of some kind.
No offense, I don't need Blade speaking old English. I know there's a part of the story where he is in England at some point.
At some point, yes.
But I don't need that.
You don't want that?
No.
Well, turns out nobody did.
Thank you.
Because they rewrote it. And but I don't know if it was Mahershala pushing for that. I don't know if that's been part of this whole debacle. I still think with him being attached to it for so long, and Jong, I should really credit Jong on this, because he brought it up. With him being attached to it for so long now, 5 years, I think we'll eventually see it. I think the big question is whether he does it in the end. But, I mean, at this point, I think he does it.
So, were we going to get an origin story of Blade?
I don't think it was an origin story necessarily. It was just going to be a period. They really wanted a period piece. Well, somebody did. And that's, I think, kind of up in the air
for
as
what?
To who
for
wanted
who?
It. I think for themselves.
Yeah. Was anyone asking to not see Blade interact with the current characters of today?
No, we want. Kind of wanted
whole point of
current day.
The whole point was to see that this particular character and all that he brings interacting with, hey, look, Ant-Man. Not that he would, but hey, look, Blade and Ant-Man.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
I saw somebody was like, I don't want to see Cowboy Blade. I want to see current day Blade.
Yeah. And how he will respond to some of the goofiness that is what Marvel has leaned into, and maybe some of the stakes they've taken out of their stuff that people don't like. Maybe that would change the tone of a movie. I don't know. I don't even know how those worlds would work. Blade, which is more horror Marvel, considering, he's killing vampires and blood and all that stuff. And, Miss Marvel is probably wouldn't be part of the original, the initial
no, you don't
Blade
think,
story.
No.
No. It might have been like a pure Blade story where we don't see anyone that we have become accustomed
yeah.
to. But the thought that at some point he might cross over into, or maybe they would cross over into one of his movies. Hey, could you knock it off with all the killing of vampires or whatever? However it would go.
Right.
But instead, somebody was selling us Pride and Prejudice with Blade in it. Although that's way back, even before the 1920s, I guess.
I do want to bring up Wesley Snipes tweeted about all this. Did yeah. you see this tweet?
Yeah, Wesley's on one.
Yeah. What do you mean? He's like, Blade, lordy, 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 eye emoji. Folks still looking for the secret sauce? Riding snowmobiles in traffic. Kind of rough. Daywalkers make it look easy, don't they?
Well,
smiley emoji.
Blade, if we remember from the Deadpool trailer, there is a Blade shown, but it is not obviously Mahershala.
No.
And it is not Wesley Snipes.
No.
It reminds me of the Blade from the TV show.
The Spike TV show?
Yeah. That's what it looked like. I don't think it's the character who was a rapper whose name I'm forgetting.
Sticky Fingers.
Yes, there.
Or Fingers, I think is the
Fingers.
Problem.
There is a yeah, Z.
There is a Z. Yeah.
So I don't think it was him, but it was someone who would remind you of his look.
I'm not going to lie. I like that show.
I like Blade.
I like the show.
I liked it. I'm not going to. I don't lie. You ain't got to lie here. You can tell the truth.
Okay, good. I'm telling the truth.
I did like that show, but now I could spend the rest of the segment talking about Blade. But beyond Blade, and my hope that they bring that movie to the MCU.
Eventually. I think it does. Eventually.
Hopefully. So we've had another episode of The Acolyte. We've mm-hmm. had another episode of The Boys. I'm not sure you've seen it. It came on. Obviously, it was on yesterday.
I'm halfway through it.
Okay. So we've got The Acolyte. We've got The Boys. We've got Hot D. Maybe we don't spoil anything for people. It's called, if people don't know, House of the Dragon, the acronym, is become Hot D for people. People call it Hot D.
Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Was it Sean Mapes?
No, it's on your podcast description.
I mean, it true. I had to do it. I
calls
had to
come
it.
From inside the house.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I didn't. That's not my creation. That's just what people call
I
House of the Dragon.
I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't.
No,
I give you credit.
It is great. It's awesome,
especially with how episode one went.
You know,
that it's true.
No spoilers.
It's true. But I will ask you this. Now, it's maybe a little unfair because we've only had one episode of
mm-hmm.
Hot D, but for you people who are now uncomfortable with me saying that, House of the Dragon, The Acolyte, or The Boys, which one so far do you think is best?
Without any bias, House of the Dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's by far and away the better show of the bunch. The writing is superb so far. The visuals, like everything, the intensity of the final 10 minutes of the last episode, and obviously no spoilers, but like the perspective that they give you in those final 10 minutes is something that the other shows can't do.
They can't match.
And it's not like, this is not a criticism towards them. It's just, they're different, and they can't do it the way the House of the Dragon does it. And, I mean, that show is just firing on all cylinders, and it's only been one episode.
Yeah, we are at a point where the atrocities are just going to build, I imagine, because
yes.
there was a, you know, the whole promo stuff was, which team are you on? I don't think George R.R. Martin wanted you to pick a team. He just wanted to show you the atrocities and the horrors of when a family has decided that one way is the right way, and the other people are the enemy because they don't want what we want. And like you said, no spoilers. But I, not being a book reader, don't have the perspective, oh, they went a little light on this, which a lot of book readers are really repeating to themselves and
yeah.
to others.
I was reading about the differences between the book scene and that. Yeah,
and sure, when we look at the book facts, it's rougher.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure people, despite what they think they want, we're looking for, would actually like to see that on TV.
No, that would venture towards, what is it, like torture?
Yeah.
Porn
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah. People are saying, hey, it doesn't have the impact. Okay.
No. Nah.
Did you think you wanted to see it? You think you do, but considering how, at least I would say, harrowing the actual scene was, putting the full George R. R. Martin spin on it might have been something where people, that's a little too far.
I think people always say, oh, I want to see, you know, they say that, but usually the scenes that do it best are the ones that that don't show you everything. Like, that's why certain horror movies hit better than others, because they don't, they're not just throwing the monster at you from the jump.
Yeah.
They're not, like, you got to build tension. And that's what that scene was all about. And that's why it worked so well for the TV version.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, like I said, I didn't read it, so I don't have the impact of the George's telling of it, but I'm fine with it considering what I know about what those words were.
And they're working on a more, I mean, it's still been like ages in terms of years that the story has progressed over the first season and first episode, but it is condensed a little bit compared to the book. So they obviously, part of it, they had to make adjustments because of the timeline, but I thought it was fine. And had me, because I'm not a book reader. I haven't jumped into those books. So I learn about it after the fact. And learning about blood and cheese is all I'll say.
Yes.
Was interesting, to say the least.
Definitely. So House of the Dragon episode 2 is real on quick, Sunday.
Do you think Daemon, obviously, again, no spoilers, but do you think Daemon told them to do what they did?
Well,
because it cuts away.
For people who are, you know, hey, what happened to my sports show?
Yeah. We're talking House of the Dragon.
Yes, but yes, the whole point of it, of the books, were the unreliable narrators. Mm-hmm. There are multiple people giving you tellings of the same incidents. So the show is trying to give some ambiguity to certain events. So in this instance, he gave a directive to a couple guys to do something. And then when they asked, what if we can't pull this off? Can we do, what else would you want us to do? And then it cuts off.
And then it cuts away, yeah.
I don't think... Because there's a line in there that says a son for a son.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a suggestion that came directly from Daemon, not from blood or cheese. They don't seem like the greatest thinkers in the world. I'm going to go with Daemon told them that, which means, hey, like Denzel told Jamie Foxx in that interview, I'm leaving here with something. And they decided Daemon told them to leave there with something, and that's what we got. So as we dance around what actually happened, is there anything – beyond like the big tentpole things that are out right now that for the summer of content, is there anything else you are looking forward to, or just something that's going to premiere shortly that you think we should watch?
I mean, this weekend, I would treat it as a catch up weekend for most people. So if you're not caught up on The Acolyte, if you're not caught up on The Boys, if you're not caught up on House of the Dragon, use this time, because like the theater, the two big releases this weekend are The Bike Riders with Tom Hardy, Austin Butler, Jodie Comer, and then The Exorcism, the new film with Russell Crowe. I'm not like jonesing for either of those necessarily. Okay. If I had to pick, obviously I'm going to pick Bike Riders.
Cause, yeah, if you want to leave the house, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that, because also I'm not like a horror person. Mm-hmm. And then on TV-wise, there's streaming-wise, Orphan Black Echoes.
I do like Kristen Ritter. That has a lot to do with her time as Jessica Jones.
And it is a sequel series to the original show with Tatiana Maslany, which I've heard nothing but good things. So like that's
something I will catch. I'm pretty much caught up on all the stuff I normally would watch. So that's something I'm going to take a look at.
If you want to watch a dumb action movie, you can watch Trigger Warning with Jessica Alba on Netflix today.
Hmm.
I'm assuming it's dumb just because it's like... I don't know.
It's a Netflix action movie.
That's a good guess. And it's honestly, it looks like one of those movies that you would put on once just to have something on. And
Rotten Tomatoes isn't treating it well.
What a shock.
We're under 30% for Trigger Warning.
I don't know why. That trailer just had me so sold. Doctor Who season finales this weekend. There is a show I learned about called Shorzy, which is a Canadian comedy about a hockey team. And it's on Hulu. Season 3 premiered, I guess it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. But it's based off of it's from a fan favorite character. It's following a fan favorite character from Letter Kenny from that show. And I watched the trailer this morning and I was like, oh, that looks pretty funny. It's very much a mature comedy, but it looked funny. Oppenheimer's on Prime Video. Kung Fu Panda's on Peacock.
For the kids.
You got that for the kids. But yeah, I would.
Or Jack Black fans.
One or the other. But I would honestly use this weekend.
Jack Black's only in one of them, but you guess which one.
In one?
You said Oppenheimer and, and Kung Fu Panda are both on Prime for the kids.
I can't imagine Jack Black in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, use some critical thinking, people, and figure that one out. Yeah.
He was in that movie?
Yeah. Plays Niels Bohr, actually. Yeah.
I'm just now picturing him as Einstein. I don't know why.
It'd
weird...
be a different take on the character or the person, yeah.
Hey! And he's just...
E equals MC squared! Watch it, Oppenheimer. And Nolan's like, a little less, Jack. A little less from you.
Dial it back a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, just go watch House of the Dragon, the boys.
Yeah, catch up on the stuff that everyone is watching. Become part of the culture. Watch all that stuff.
Or, honestly, be like... I don't know if Sean Mapes is all the way caught up, but watch The Bear if you haven't.
All the way caught up.
You're all the way caught up.
Caught up on it first because I'm a terrible planner.
Because season 3 premieres next week. So you got that to look forward to.
Okay. Thank you, Michael Carroll.
You're welcome.
He joins us every week. The host of Comicast, as I said, you can hear it every week on Fridays here on ESPN 97.5, but also you can hear it earlier in podcast form. He and Jong Lee takes you through the week that was in entertainment. Some hot D talk. You take that how you want it. We also
House of the Dragon. It's House
Sorry,
of the Dragon.
You put that in the title.
They said I had to shorten the title.
Well, and you maybe should have shortened something else because that's what you put there. Is Blade going to be a thing with Mahershala Ali? That was a topic of conversation as well, and much more. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. We got one more segment here on the show, and then Gallant and George will follow us. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
A couple minutes here before we wrap it up for the week. And by we, I mean me. Sean's part of a different Big Three coming up here in, 8 minutes or so.
Big Three.
Sean, you have that talk with them, okay? If they even get the reference, who knows? You can have that discussion with them. So Sean put this on the rundown, and it's a quick one so we can get to it here. We were talking a lot about the Rockets and what they might do, and are they in line to go acquire a star? That probably be their quickest way to go from play-in contender to solidified playoff team beyond internal growth. Well, a guy who appears to be going on the market, whether the Rockets have any interest is a different story, but Paul George. The thought was he would not sign an extension with the Clippers, partly because they're not offering him the max. You know, the same one they gave to Kawhi Leonard. It doesn't look like Paul George is going to get that from the Clippers. They've been hesitant to do it. So Paul George could be likely to change teams. And it's not just about, hey, I'm going to opt out. The thought is that Paul George will opt in and then ask for a trade, which then makes him open to teams who don't have cap space. It changes the trajectory of this offseason. If whatever you think of Paul George, he's a top 25 player, Sean. You think he's a top 25, 30 player or so. Whatever you think of him, he's probably there.
In the 20s.
So if he's available to move, that could change a contender. Would it change the Rockets? I guess it all depends on how much they gave up to get him. But so if you're a team without space, Paul George could be on the market because it's as simple as I'm going to opt in, and then you're going to trade me, and then when the Clippers tell him they couldn't find a deal, he'll go to China and call Steve Ballmer a liar.
He
probably won't. But if he's learned anything from James, because he's talked to James, and there's some question about whether he would even want to go to Philly. Now the Philly people have responded. Actually, we didn't really want him anyway.
Our interests have waned.
Is it because Paul George said his interests have waned?
No, we're on to bigger and better things.
Is this a college football hiring thing where, hey...
We got our number one choice?
Yeah.
After three people turned us down?
We never offered the job to those guys anyway.
No, this is Paul George. This is Matt Stafford. They're looking for their own Joe Cox.
Who, Brandon Ingram? Is Brandon Ingram Joe Cox in the situation?
Miles Bridges? I don't know. DeMar DeRozan.
Well, the Bulls are on. Well, we haven't even talked about this. The Bulls did trade Josh Giddey. Well, they traded for Josh Giddey. They traded Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey. So the Bulls, that perennial play-in team is looking to break it up. First, Alex Caruso. Maybe DeMar DeRozan next. Maybe they could just say, hey, you stay in L.A. We'll make a deal there since you're hanging out with Kendrick so much. And then Zach LaVine's another guy who could be on the market. But the Sixers, who are in all of these trade talks because they're looking to acquire someone to help Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, despite not having anything to give up unless they were giving up Joel Embiid or Tyrese Maxey, say, we're not really interested in Zach LaVine either. So not Paul George, not Zach LaVine. Is it Brent Ingram or Bust or someone we don't know about?
What are they cooking?
Probably. Hey, Jimmy, do you want to make it tough in Miami? We'd love to have you back 5 years after, you know, we could have had you the first time. So we're probably going to have more news because it's that time of the year with the NBA Finals over, and we're less than a week away from the draft. So we'll talk a lot of Rockets next week as they get prepared, and maybe they'll make a move that removes the option of drafting someone because they trade that pick for an accomplished player. We are done. The show is. Sean will help you. Well, more help Gallant and George get through the next 3 hours. Big Me is what we call Sean in that grouping. I'll talk to you next week. And since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
Got the timing worked out. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.